Each year, on the evening before commencement, it falls on the president of Wyoming Catholic College to host the president's dinner and to address not only the graduates, but their parents, siblings, grandparents, and friends. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. The Wyoming Catholic College class of 2021's junior and senior years were, of course, marked by pandemic, panic, and social distance. Theirs was an unusual college career. Yet, as college president Dr. Glenn Arbery noted in his address at the president's dinner, it was a class that nonetheless excelled in every way. Here are Dr. Arbery's remarks in their entirety.
Reverend Fathers, Directors of Wyoming Catholic College, Mr. Mark, distinguished faculty and staff, parents, grandparents, friends, siblings, and graduates of the class of 2021. This evening, before we enter the formalities of the commencement exercises tomorrow, I want to say a little about this class, the world that they will be entering, and the power of the education they've received. As I told the graduates 2 weeks ago at their senior retreat, I've not had the privilege of knowing them all in the classroom, for the characters and minds of different students emerge most vividly. I did have four wonderful thesis advisees, Brianna Bell, Isaac Gibson, Jane Kiesfey, and Peter Tardin. We used to meet in my office to talk through their progress on their theses. And at some point during our conversations, we would always come to one of these moments of shared insight that illuminates everything. We started calling it Nirvana. I see Jane smiling at us. It got to be a joke. I think a word search would reveal that they all embedded the word Nirvana somewhere in their senior thesis. I also had one section of this year's seniors a year ago in Humanities 302. We began the semester reading about Satan's successful temptation of Adam and Eve in Paradise Lost, the poetic account of the fall of man, which led to all our woes, Milton Pritzker. Little did we suspect in late January, or even February of last year, what all our woe was going to look like. COVID-19 was just a story in the background. We made it through Descartes' Discourse on the Method, some readings about the Enlightenment, selections from various writers on the French Revolution, and then Burke's great Reflections on the Revolution in France. On the morning of March 11th, Wednesday, we read Coleridge's Rime of the Ancient Mariner, an eerie tale of sin and redemption, not knowing that it would be our last class together in person. As that day went on, you might remember this day, President Trump suspended travel from 26 European countries. The National Basketball Association canceled its season. At the time, there were only 1,200 cases reported in the entire United States, but the virus was spreading exponentially. By Friday of that week, President Trump had declared a state of national emergency, which meant that domestic travel was going to be restricted soon, and state regulations were just over the horizon. That afternoon, the first case in Fremont County emerged at a nursing home close to our campus in Landover. In a series of official meetings that day, very difficult meetings, we recognized that we were going to have to close the campus and go online. Wyoming Catholic College, if I may say so without sounding too private, was beautifully, supremely, uniquely unprepared to go online. Since our founding, the encounter with reality, the experiential, in-person character of this education has always been our hallmark. Most of us have never even heard of Zoom, but we mobilized quickly to continue the semester. Dean Watson urged us on. From the space of over a year, it's possible to see the comedy of it a little bit. Faculty and students scrambled to learn how to be virtual in their various very real settings, with spouses and children or siblings and parents all sent home from work or school, all vying to get online, often with overworked internet connections. We experimented and adjusted. For example, Dr. Tiffany Schubert and I recorded some pretty good conversations on the Romantic poets and the Russian novelist Turgenev before we realized that we could just resume our classes as seminars on Zoom. We made it through, and I came to know my section of 14 students pretty well. Within a class or two online, they had already figured out how to have those side chats. No, I couldn't see, right? By the end of the semester, this is just a few more Zoom classes away, they'd also discovered how to change the names that appeared at the bottom of the Zoom. I've been making some serious point about Raskolnikov and Sonia, and they'd suddenly all start smiling, which is the usual tip-off. It would take me a minute, but then I would see that Rinju had been renamed Rasputin. Am I worried about how this wonderful class, whose orations were the best we can remember, will do out in the world? I am not. Graduates, the world lies all before you, and I wish you a lucky passage. But what does that world look like? This past week, I read an alarming story in Cowboy State Daily. The Wyoming News site, run by our board member, Bill Smith, and where's Bill? It was a warning from a geologist that the immense mass of magma beneath Yellowstone National Park is going to explode. It has exploded every 600,000 years for a while now. And it's been 600,000 years since the last eruption. So we're due. When it goes, the geologist assured us, it will bury the nearby states in 3 feet of volcanic ash and pretty much devastate the rest of the United States. I say that it was an alarming story, but it comes closer to Wyoming humor. We use it to startle new citizens fleeing from the apocalyptic taxes of California. We joke about being the first to go. Yes, it's going to explode, but probably not till 1,000 years from now, maybe 10,000. But the fact of all that magma underfoot gives a little more intensity to any tour of the thermal wonderland of Northwest Wyoming. I started to wonder if we feel it as a metaphor for the culture of the present day, that sense of apocalyptic threat that has haunted the imagination of popular culture for decades. We see the vastness of geological time all around us in this rocky state. Our center looks like the flickering of an eye in comparison. What can it matter what we do? It matters because we inhabit the mystery of God's time, a mystery whose depth encompasses all creation. As the old hymn puts it, 1,000 ages in his sight are like an evening dawn. Yet this awareness of immensity makes us focus more intensely upon our responsibility to the present moment we have been given, the right now where we find ourselves and where our decisions shape the future toward good or bad ends. Let's compare the year I graduated, 1973, to 2021. American troops in 1973 had just withdrawn from Vietnam under the Paris Peace Accord. The Watergate hearings were underway. The Roe v. Wade decision had come down in January of that year. And the massive race riots and protests and political assassinations of the late 60s and early 70s were still fresh on everyone's mind. Surely the second coming was at hand. Instead, we got Jimmy Carter. That's kind of a generational joke. In any case, my wife will tell you as soon as she gets the chance that I voted for Jimmy Carter.
Oh.
I was in Georgia, I did it once. In any case, after Jimmy Carter came Ronald Reagan, the end of the Cold War, and real possibilities, however inadequately realized, in the aftermath of the fall of Soviet communism. Almost 50 years after 1973, many of the same national tensions have reemerged, though the political parties today seem much farther apart. The pressures toward critical race theory, wokeness, and other phenomena of contemporary American academic life have their genealogical roots in the radicalism of the 1960s. But the strongest counter to those influences also comes from that era. The founding and transformation of colleges strongly emphasizing fidelity to the church and the curriculum rooted in the Catholic intellectual tradition. I'm thinking about the University of Dallas under Donald Louise Cowan, Benedictine, Thomas Aquinas College, Franciscan under Father Scanlon, Magdalene, Christendom, Thomas More, and last born, unique among them, Wyoming Catholic College. What do our graduates face that's different from what my generation faced? Recently, I started listening to the Audible edition of Walker Percy's comic apocalyptic novel, Love in the Ruins, which is published in 1971. So many things that he writes about racial tensions, political divisions, and the sexual revolution could have been written this year. It's so funny that it's dangerous to listen to while you're driving. What's missing, though, that Percy does not anticipate at all, is the extraordinary rise in global pervasiveness of personal technology. The first personal computer was still 3 years away in 1971, and it was inconceivable that within a few decades, everyone would have a pocket-sized device many times more powerful than the large ventilated machines that used to take up whole rooms and were fed with punch cards. Something like the internet, much less a Zoom seminar, was the stuff of science fiction. What difference does that make? 50 years ago, reading the newspaper, or listening to the radio, or turning on the television, allowed an individual to participate in a larger shared awareness that more or less closely approached real time, a kind of group consciousness. Some people had to have the TV on all the time. You never knew when one of those, you know, we interrupt this program. You know, it's exciting, right? You know? But now, many people don't feel fully conscious unless they're online. Almost as though being offline were the loss of a vital avenue of sense experience. The phenomenon that I'm talking about did not begin in modernity or with the internet. Plato's Socrates had already described this immersive realm of opinion, doxa, in his Allegory of the Cave. In his time, it was constituted by plays, religious festivals, recitations of Homer, speeches in court or in political settings by skilled orators trained by sophists. The whole discourse of public life. Plato recognized that real public power lies much less in physical force than in control of this consciousness in common, which today means mastery of the internet and all the variousness of what it makes available. The danger lies in coming to feel that our lives exist most fully in this realm of shadows, this hive mind of doxa, which mediates what we are. The antidote is reality. The real world used to be what you entered when you finished college. Remember, that used to be just a truism. Well, what are you going to do out there in the real world? But at Wyoming Catholic College, it's what a student enters freshman year with a 21-day backpacking expedition in the mountains. The seniors we celebrate tonight carry within them an experience of their college years, unique in the world. Obviously, they still use the internet in ordinary ways, but our policy against cell phones since the college was founded has distanced them from the ubiquity of its influence. Their 4 years have been shaped instead by an intense and integrated curriculum, everywhere informed by constant meditation on the nature of God and the incarnation, and everywhere illuminated by real experience of the created order in its ancient elemental forms of earth, air, fire, and water. Their consciousness in common is community, something so real and so joyful it's difficult to describe. After an education that has been sometimes almost too real, too much, impossible to take in. Tomorrow, the experience ends with the usual celebrations, as though this were just another education. But this has been an education like no other. Let me close by opening three questions about it. First, what is this education like in the person who receives it? The whole of it can never be present at once, just as the whole of a book or a piece of music can never be present in any one instant. Perhaps the presence of it in memory, all those vivid experiences of books and conversations in class or the dorms, all those struggles with language and writing papers, perhaps the presence of it exists like a continent, cities and towns seen from a satellite, a great web of larger and smaller clusters of lights, each one of which could be re-entered in all its complexities. It would take an Augustine to describe the depths and mysteries of what this education is within the mind and soul. This unfolding form, always growing in complexity, perhaps never to be apprehended in its wholeness in this life. We could describe it as a constellation of things known and speculated, a mapping that allows new things to find a place and an order. But the question is always particular, and I ask it of each graduate, what is this education like in you? My second question is what motion this education has in the world, compared, say, to a training and a skill or a profession. Clearly, it's good for its own sake, but does it also have the kind of implications that beauty has, responsibilities that come with it? St. Thomas Aquinas describes ambition as the sin of forgetting that one's gifts come from God. But suppose you think of the same gifts in terms of vocation and hope, patient openness to providence as it subtly shows itself, and then wholehearted response to the divine summons. Suppose you enter into marriage or work or graduate school with the spirit of invention, as we use the word at WCC. Third, what might the fruit of this education be 30 years from now, when you graduates look back on it with a clearer sense of the workings of providence and greater awareness of the hope and the calling? What will it have meant that much has been asked of you and that you have entered the world with knowledge and courtesy and courage and the habit of real presence? I hope it will have meant more than you can say. Again, before the ceremonies of tomorrow, let me offer you my own blessings and those of all of us who have come to know you with such love and such joy. I wish what I wished you before, but harder. Thank you.
As the Wyoming Catholic College website puts it, quote, "Ours is an education of immersion. Immersion in the Western tradition, immersion in the beauty and challenges of the wilderness, immersion in the treasures of our Catholic spiritual heritage," close quote. While the new freshman class at Wyoming Catholic College is almost entirely full, it's not too early to think about matriculating in the fall of 2022. If you are, or if you know, a rising high school senior, why not consider the possibility of a Wyoming Catholic College education? Visit our website, wyomingcatholic.edu, to learn more. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.